The gurus of how to are here. Alvin and Lawrence Hugh Bell, also known as Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York. They visit us on a regular basis to answer your questions about all sorts of things, home repair in general. But we have covered a wide range of subjects over the years. And we also have a quiz when they come here. We'll get to the quiz in just a moment. First of all, I want to welcome Larry back to the United States. You've just returned from your honeymoon in Italy?
Yes, we went to Italy for our honeymoon, but the best part was actually getting married, which I got married on the third.
See how quickly they forget.
Anyway, but
you better remember your anniversary.
You know, you're
yeah,
right.
Women go crazy with that.
Yeah, throw me under the bus.
I have it written down, Larry, in case you want to know. You can always call me.
Okay, good. I know, on the invitation. Anyway, but we had a great wedding, and then we went to Italy. We went to Rome, Florence, the Tuscany, and then the Amalfi Coast. And it was just wonderful. People are warm and wonderful. It's a great place.
So have you forgotten everything you know about home repair because
Absolutely.
You've been away from it so long?
It's empty. It's a clean slate. You can start all over again.
No.
Who wants to read the quiz? Should I read it this time? It's really short.
Yes.
Name the hardware that supports a rotating length of an extended drive shaft. That's it.
That's it.
Okay. And our number here, by the way, is 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. And we've been promoting this as the transition between summer and fall. Should we be talking about that already?
Not so much, because I have to tell you that it seems to be that every summer seems to extend into October.
Yes.
Are you saying because of climate change or just because that's the way it is?
It just seems yes and yes. I think that both the climate change that, you know, the couple of degrees warmer that things are, but also the fact that it seems that every September we have what they call Indian summer. And so to start doing things with your air conditioners or anything like that is foolish. But it really is. We're getting close to the end of the time when you really should start doing maintenance to your heating equipment, whether it's adjusting and cleaning your boiler, whether it's dealing with your forced air heating system and cleaning it. One of the things that we've been a little neglectful at the office is cleaning the fan or the squirrel cage on the forced air heating system. Even though you have a filter, a lot of dust collects there, and the more dust collects on those fins or the blades of the fan, the less efficient it is. And yeah. So those are the kinds of things that need to be done. One last thing, if the air conditioning and heating system is one system, then you definitely need to check the filter. Yeah, probably the filter is probably very dirty if you're running air conditioning
all summer.
Yeah,
but especially this summer. It was quite hot, and that means that your machine was running for a long period of time. And just to let you people know, that the filter is not for us. It's not to clean the air that we're breathing. What it is to prevent the dirt from clinging to the fins that is wet from condensation, and that becomes bulky and prevents the air from flowing through.
So
and
it
becoming
makes it
more
less
efficient. Yes, it makes
yes.
it less efficient.
Which then raises our electricity bill.
And it pollutes the atmosphere.
And also the dust acts like an insulator, so it's not as efficient as exchanging heat for both heating and air conditioning.
Yeah, so the filter is an important mechanical connection to your system.
Now, people have already been calling in. Mm-hmm. Should we start taking some calls?
Why not?
Sure.
Okay. A reminder, my guests are the gurus of how to, Alan, Larry, Hugh Bell, and they function as businessmen under the name Accurate Building Inspectors.
Businessmen. Oh my God! I feel like I should be wearing like a shark skin suit with a very tight bow.
I tell you, when I take off my dungarees,
you're building inspectors. Anyway, this is WMIC, WMIC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate, our number 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org. And a reminder, we also have a quiz in effect. The question is, name the hardware that supports a rotating length of an extended drive shaft. And let's take some of these calls. Bob from Brooklyn, hi, you're on the air.
Hello,
hi,
Bob.
Hello, Alan, Larry.
Hi, how are you? What's up?
Good. Go forth and fix.
Thank you.
You've been listening.
You want to know something? That's copyrighted. We could charge you for that.
I have a one-family home. brick walls, brick, it's attached on both sides, brick. Now, in the last 15 years, I've had a problem with the walls. You know, where the brick walls is, there's the wooden lath, and then there's that stuff that when they made the house, they used that scratch, which I understand it comes in two layers, and it separates over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the bulging. I've had bulging walls all over the house.
Right.
Now, I fixed it myself. I used the plaster weld and plaster of Paris, and it came out beautiful.
Yeah.
But I understand this is caused by dampness. I also keep the house, the temperature low to save money on heating in the wintertime. Maybe I keep the temperature at 65. Could this problem be weather-related? Could it be cold? Is it dampness?
It could be dampness. One is, and it's probably dampness during the summer, not during the winter, because we don't have a lot of dampness issues during the winter. Relative humidity in a house usually drops between 40 and 20% during the heating season. It's during the summer that all this dampness is probably occurring. But I have to say that, like a lot of other things in our homes, plaster is not a forever item, and it does actually deteriorate over time. And the layers, the stratum of the plaster, whether it be the separation of the plaster from the scratch coat from the lath, or the lath from the studs, you're going to get this bulging, and you're going to have to go around either replacing it with what you've already done, which sounds great, or wholesale changes with just new drywall. And do that. I know people have a visceral problem with drywall. I particularly don't, but I find it very easy to work with, and if you have to fix it, it fixes really easily.
Okay, Bob?
Yeah, well, just one quick thing. When the scratch comes out, though, when I dig it out, it's dry, though. It's very dry. Could it really be the dampness?
It could be because, you know, dampness is relative to, you know, it's like something could feel dry, but still the water that's in between the molecules are so small that they're doing their damage, and you can't even see it, feel it, or sense it.
Stuart from Seaside Park, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up? That was a great question, by the way.
Hey, guys. I spoke to you a couple of months ago. I had given a guy a 50% deposit to do my roof, and I had to take them to court finally,
mm-hmm.
and I just got my money back. So I need to get this roof done. I had a guy come over, gave me an estimate, which is, you know, kind of in the ballpark of what we've been hearing.
Uh-huh.
However, he wants also a 50% deposit, and I'm wondering whether or not 50% is really the common thing for jobs like this.
Well, I'll tell you something. I don't believe in giving deposits to contractors that have to come to your house, because the thing is, you can't run away. You're stuck in your house. And the reason they're getting a deposit is you're like giving them a loan. And this is not the way you do regular construction. If you sign a contract, he comes and he fixes it. And when he does 50% of the job, you give him maybe 35 or 40% of the of whatever you contracted to do. And then it goes on. But a deposit for doing construction, unless he's doing kitchen cabinets or something like that, where they have to go to another contractor to get that material, that's another story. If he says he has to buy his supplier, that means his supplier should give him credit, because the supplier knows who he is, but you don't know who their contractor is.
And I'm also going to say that we, you know, sometimes a good faith, you give a deposit to show that you're serious about the job. But I'm going to say that the deposit should be only the amount that you're willing to lose. Okay?
Good point.
Like when we go to Vegas.
Good point.
This is the amount of money I'm willing to give to the casino. That's the amount you're willing to give to the house, okay? And I don't mean your house. So that really is, and I have to say that when you're buying roofing material or other things like that, this is stuff that if he doesn't sell it to you, he can go right back to the supplier and get a full credit for it and give it right back. So it's not like he's stuck holding the bag for all, and especially if you happen to buy from Home Depot, I mean, their return policy is amazing. So, you know, that kind of thing about, you know, I have to say, sometimes you have to play hardball with the guys and say, no, I'm not willing to do that. I got burned already. But here's, let's say the job is a $20,000 job, here's $2,000.
That would be appropriate.
Yeah, here's 10% of the job to hold the date. And when you show up with your guy, you deliver the equipment, you deliver the materials, here I'll give you 25% of the job.
Okay, Stuart, thanks.
Okay.
Michelle from Queens, hi, you're on the air.
Hi,
Michelle.
I had just recently bought a 100-year-old house.
Yay.
And there is no insulation in. So we got blown in insulation, loose fill insulation blown into the walls, and they drilled a 2-inch diameter hole about every 16 inches.
Right.
But then they didn't cover the holes with anything in the sheathing. Should I do something about that?
Now, did they do it from the outside or from the inside?
From the outside, yeah.
From the outside. And then what did they put over that? Nothing?
Just our aluminum siding. They just put the aluminum siding back on.
And they didn't patch it with anything, right?
Nope. Mm. No, they said they wanted it to breathe.
Well, that's, you know, I'm not told, because the problem is if water gets through the siding, you're going to get water into that. But they didn't even put a Tyvek or anything over the hole?
Nope.
They
put the aluminum siding on top of cedar shingles. Mm-hmm. So they drilled straight through the cedar shingles.
Okay.
The only thing I could say is anytime you have blown-in insulation, you wait till the next season to come around and get somebody to do an infrared photographs of the building to see where they left out some spots that are not insulated. That's really a good technique.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question. Did you aluminum side the house or vinyl side the house after they did the insulation?
No, that was already in.
It was already there. So they removed some panels, they drilled through it, and then put the panels back.
Exactly.
That's not horrible. That's not horrible. Don't worry about it. I don't think you're going to get infiltration of anything like that. So I wouldn't worry about that. But I am going to recommend that next time, if you do ever redo the siding, to have them put insulation underneath the siding between the building and the siding. That would also add another level of insulation on the building.
Now, a lot of people have been calling in with answers.
Oh,
to the
great.
Quiz.
That's wonderful.
Should we see if anybody's got it right?
Sure.
Okay, let's start with Eric from Riverdale in the Bronx. What do you say it is, Eric?
Well, on a boat, it would be something called a cutlass bearing, which comes from the motor shaft out to the propeller, and it sits in a strut, and inside the strut is something called a cutlass bearing.
Well, You're so close to that device, because there's another device that goes around that supports it and keeps it from vibrating, and that's what we're looking through.
Okay, well, thank you for your call. Kevin from Pennsylvania, what do you think it is?
Is it a turnbuckle?
No.
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 Close, but a turnbuckle is like a universal. But close to those devices this device.
I'm going to be very rude and say, no, turnbuckle was not close.
Not
okay.
close.
No, I'm going to say wasn't close.
Now, Arch from Norwalk, Connecticut, what do you think it is?
U-joint?
No. No, a universal joint, no.
Thank you. Cynthia from Manhattan, what do you think it is?
Hi, I'm hoping it's the differential.
No.
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 Okay.
Oh, no.
Greg from New Brunswick.
Well, it's a bearing.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
Keep coming.
There's more to it.
Isolation bearing?
What?
I don't know.
No.
Journal bearing.
No. Wow, he's close.
He's close. He's this close, but sorry. We are kind of pained that way.
Oh, well, we're going to take a little break here.
Oh, and by the way, I just come from the newsroom. My anniversary is actually August 2nd. Okay.
I do that. I would have told you during the break. My guests are the gurus of how to, Al and Larry Ubell. We're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. Or you can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org, on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopez. Stay with us for more. And we are back with the gurus of how to, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell, and we're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WMIC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Should we take a couple more answers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, just I think we got a bunch more. Okay, George from Greenwich, Connecticut, what do you think it is?
I think it's a ring bearing.
A rain bearing.
Ring.
Ring.
Ring
bearing.
No, sorry. Sorry.
I thought it would be what a storm tube bearing, I think, but
okay. Okay. How about Fred from Garfield, New Jersey?
Hello, Fred.
Yeah, you got a hanger bearing there.
A hanger bearing.
Hang okay. a bearing? No, that's not what we're looking for.
It's also close.
It's close.
And how about an arrow from Habistraw?
Hey.
Center support? Center support?
No, they're all very close.
Yeah, you're almost there.
I was going to take another call from Tony, who also had tenor support. What is that? Center support. But let's go to Frank from Hastings-on-Hudson. Hi, Frank. What do you think it is?
Hi. I think it's a pillow block.
Or another name for it is actually a bearing block.
Or a pillow block, or a pillow bearing, and a box.
Just a box.
It's called a bearing box.
You had three names you could have come up with, listeners. But thank you, Frank, for coming
up
with one and putting me out of my misery, because I want to get to other kinds of questions here.
How do you know that?
I had a hardware store in Yonkers for 38 years.
Oh, there you
cheater.
Go. No, he's not. He's a part of our community. It takes a village to answer this question.
So
I
Frank,
listen to you guys all the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Frank, you know, you get something for coming up with the right answer.
Yes.
I almost forgot. Right. He gets the acknowledgement that he actually got it right.
And he gets the energy-saving guide for homeowners by Al Ubell and
George Merlis.
George Merlis.
And I'm going to put you on hold, Frank. My producer will take all the information about where to send that book. And thank you so much for calling and, as I said, putting me out of my misery so we can get to other questions.
And good luck.
Carol on Twitter has asked, my air conditioners are 6 years old. Do they need any maintenance other than regular filter cleaning? I live in a rental high-rise.
They should, actually. The back of the air conditioner should actually be washed out from time to time, but that is a major pain to pull it out of the sleeve and to get it somewhere where you can spray it down with a hose to get some of the dirt out. And also on the inside, they should wipe, you know, look at the coils and clean them out. But you don't want to soak this thing in water because, remember, there are electronic parts in it.
Andrew from Huntington, New York. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Andrew.
Hello. I have an ice damming question. I had a problem, 1952 house. It was blown in insulation.
Okay.
I refinished some rooms, and I when they did the insulation, they used those in the roof, those like styrofoam baffle things to let air flow.
Right.
But there were never any soffit vents. So I had a problem. I redid the entire roof, and they put that ice shield. I think it was like 3 or 4 feet.
Uh-huh.
They did a great job. The roof never leaked or anything, but yet I still had massive blocks of ice.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. At where the soffit is, or the eaves, are there openings there?
Well, that's what the roofer, he came back and he installed a bunch of two-inch circle vents. And I'm hoping that's going to be enough. It was like a big problem,
okay,
so
let
I
me
really
ask
want
you,
to avoid the problem.
But let me ask you a question. When did the two-inch circles go in?
Oh, just now, in the summer, maybe.
Let's see what happens. Actually, those two-inch circles actually are quite effective. The problem is that, you know, there is a – did he put in a ridge vent also when he did the top of the roof?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's pretty good, because you actually want the ridge vent sucking out more than the opening suck in. That way you don't have it pressurized. But it should work. I think – let's see what happens this winter, because we'll probably have more ice damming this winter. I guarantee it. And give us a call sometime in the middle of winter and see what happens. Or you can write me an email at larryubell@gmail.com.
Thank you.
Okay,
and include your telephone number.
Peace of mind. Thank you.
Okay.
And, yes, when you write to Larry – include a phone number so he can get back to you. Otherwise, you're guessing what the question really is.
The problem is that with this kind of thing, it just precipitates more and more emails, and I just at some point, it's just too time-intensive. It's easier just to talk to you.
Jane from Maplewood, New Jersey. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a Sears prefab, and it's a beach house.
Uh-huh.
And as you walk in the door, in the right-hand corner, there is a leak, and it's been there evidently for years. When we bought it, it was there. And there's an unfinished attic above it,
uh-huh.
And to the right of the corner above it is a window, uh-huh. in the attic, and we've had that window replaced. There's water coming in underneath the window, but not from the window. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if you had, and there's also a chimney 2.5 feet to the right of that. Now, I know water travels, can travel any which way, but I wondered if you had any suggestions as to how we could discover where this leak was coming from.
Well, actually, the problem is if the window goes in, the most important thing about putting in windows or any other kind of device is to have a proper flashing. What flashing is a pliable piece of material. It could be copper. It could be modified bituminous. It could be something or plastic that is flexible, that is wrapped around it so that when the water hits the window in the attic or above that area, it is detoured to go outside the building rather than inside the building. And that is generally the major problem with leakage from roof areas. All the abundance of caulking and tar and everything else, sometimes it goes away, but it comes back if the flashing is not proper.
But like she's saying, it's not usually the window per se that leaks. It's usually the window surround and the roughing and the flashing that's the problem. But I have to say from doing a radio show and not, because buildings are a visual thing, with not being able to see it, one would have to actually look at the situation and analyze where it's coming from. And it's a little bit more involved than just saying, I think it's this, that, or the other thing. It would be very challenging to just do it on the radio.
Good luck, Jane.
Good suggestion.
George from Edison, New Jersey. Hi.
Hi, Leonard. Thank you for taking the call. I enjoy your show. I have a question about humidity and houses.
Mm-hmm.
I have a house that's a large so-called great room.
Mm-hmm.
Kitchen, dining room, and living room.
Right.
The ceiling is cathedral ceiling, and everything is pine. Floors, walls, and ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
The top of the at the peak, over the years, it's become stained and moldy.
Mm-hmm.
I have dehumidifiers. I'm doing everything I think I'm supposed to. I had the cedar roof checked. There's no leaks. It has a vent. And I'm wondering if there's anything I can do. And also, how do I remove the stained panels? I mean, can I clean them or do I have to replace them or what?
Well, first of all, you have to realize that if you have a cathedral ceiling or a very high ceiling, the heat rises. And when the heat rises, it also brings with it moisture. And this moisture touches the very high areas of the building. And this acts as almost like a petri dish for mold to grow. In other words,
but also, I just want to say one thing. When it gets to the top of that peak in the winter time, it may not have enough insulation. Or is what's above this, the outside?
Yes,
so there may not be enough insulation.
True.
There, so what's happening is all this moisture is being driven up to the ceiling, and then when it hits the cold surface of the wood, it then starts to condensate, and then all the impurities that are in the air, the dust and our skin and all that stuff, starts to turn into mold. And then actually, like in old churches, it would rain inside in the churches when the moisture would hit the stone at the top of the cathedral. And so that's what's happening in your situation.
Well, he can clean it off, but how does he get rid of the stain?
The stain, he can... You're the wood guy.
The stain, you have to really clean it off and maybe take some chlorine bleach with a little liquid detergent and wash it off. But what is a good idea is in some way to ventilate, to insulate and ventilate the very peak of that cathedral-type ceiling so that the moisture is evacuated from the structure.
So what,
do you think I should have the roof vent at the top replaced or redone?
Well, at the top, in the attic space, yeah. But on the top of that peak, if the insulation is about, you know, 8 or 9 inches everywhere else, above that peak, you should at least double that. So that peak stays as warm as possible, and you don't get the condensation.
Thank you so much for your call. Andy from Orange County, New York, you're on the air.
Orange County, New York, guys, and a great show.
Thank you.
Quick question. Have a crown boiler in the house that heats the baseboard heat and the indirect water heater.
Right.
Is it? We haven't had oil added to the tank since March. We use very little over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Is it too early to have the oil burner serviced? And before having it serviced, should we have more oil added to the tank? Because they tell us in March they have a winter blend that they put into that tank.
Well, the winter blend is really what they do is they add some alcohol or some other kind of thing that gets rid of the moisture or water that may be in the oil or in the fuel that they put into that tank. As far as servicing any kind of furnace before the winter begins is always a good idea. First of all, not only do you service it for cleaning and maintenance, but also for adjustment that all of the devices that monitor your heating system is perfectly set for the winter season.
And I also have to say, it's way better to do your servicing now in case something goes amiss. I mean, if you lose heat or hot water during these hot days of summer, you can get by. But in the wintertime, you certainly cannot.
Because so, those guys are busy.
Yeah. So I would kind of take it before they get really busy.
Thank you for your call. Katie from Maplewood, New Jersey. Hi.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm okay. We just recently purchased a house that was like from the 1910s, 1920s.
Yay.
And upstairs in the attic, which is extremely hot, there is a cedar closet, which is lovely, but we're kind of concerned about using it because the heat and putting clothing up there.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if we put one of those dual exhaust fans in the window, if that might help, or would that introduce humidity that would then continue to make it not usable for clothing?
Well, the thing is that it necessarily won't introduce humidity because it's so hot in there that whatever air you take from outside is that whatever humidity, moisture in the air is going to be evaporated because it's warmer in there. But the thing you don't want to do is you start introducing dust and outdoor contaminants into all your clothes. And, you know, one of the things you're trying to do with a cedar closet is keep it isolated from all of the moths and bugs and stuff that eat the clothing. And that's the whole idea and principle behind a cedar closet. To keep it cooler up there, the only way to really do that is to somewhat condition the air, but that seems like a horrible waste of money, energy, and resources.
So you're saying
resources.
Forget it.
Yeah, forget it.
Eddie, you got to ask this question very quickly, but I thought it was important.
Yeah, hi, Leonard. How you doing? Listen, I have a question for the contractors. How do you go about getting an accurate estimate from guys before the job gets started, and then it doesn't turn into halfway through listen, we got good news and bad news?
Okay. First of all, I have to tell you that you have to realize whatever job you do, there's going to be at least 10% to 15% of unaccounted changes. Things just, they find stuff. It's kind of like when you go into surgery and all of a sudden they found something they didn't expect. It happens. But you have to do your homework. You have to know what kind of toilet you're going to put in, what kind of tiles, how they're putting in, what fixtures, what this, what that. Someone's got to get the list of everything that goes in, and once you decide to do the job, don't change your mind. Changing your mind costs you 3 to 4 times more than when it was at the beginning of the contract.
Here's the thing. What if it's a remedial job and you explain exactly what the problem is, and the guy goes up and takes a look, for example, on a roof, and then says, okay, this is what you're going to need to do. Get started. And then halfway through the job says, listen, I found this problem that wasn't accounted for. I mean, what responsibility is there to actually find and diagnose the problem accurately in the first place?
That has always been a problem.
But then there's the other side, which is he's playing you because he knew that's what was going to happen. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Then what you do is you stop the job at that point. You bring in a third independent party to consult to see if what he's saying is true or if he's BSing you.
The thing is, you got to be very much involved, and you got to be very meticulous about selecting the contractor, and also you have to visit two or three sites that he already did and ask the owner how did he treat you and what kind of mistakes did he find, and then you'll get an idea whether the guy is honest or dishonest.
But it's challenging.
Right, because how are you going to find out the previous site that the guy worked on? I mean, and that he's going to actually give you that information. I mean, I guess that's the determination of whether he's a good contractor or not.
Well, there are all sorts of things on the internet,
right,
that will indicate to you whether he has had good experience.
Right.
Other people have had good experiences,
like Yelp,
with him.
Like Angie's List, and look through them and write those people.
And we have run out of time, but again, Larry, how can people get in touch with you in case they have questions?
The best way is to just email me at larryubell@gmail.com, easy beasy, and include your telephone number, please. If you don't, I'm just going to send you the first email. Is what's your telephone
number? And
Ubell
is spelled U-B-E-L-L.
Thank you
both so much, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell.
Yep. We'll be back when?
Well, I don't know, sometime soon. I don't know the exact date.
Where again, we will all show all of America how to go forth and fix, save energy, money, and
do it safely.